This is a Psalm of David. Hear these words of the Lord. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And then also, before I read our text, I want to read a passage from 2 Peter. So 2 Peter, the first chapter. And this is a calling to the Christian life, and it defines for us what that is, and that'll also tie in with our sermon this morning. So hear this word of the Lord. Again, 2 Peter, reading from the first chapter. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, adds to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now let us turn to our text. Again, we're in Ephesians, and again, focusing on Paul's prayer that starts in verse 14. I'm going to read a little bit more than that, starting at verse 8. So hear this word of the Lord, the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of our God to us, where Paul writes to the church, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And thus far in the reading of God's holy word, and may he add his blessing to it, to all who hear it. So, beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just recently, I took a little drive down to the Flaming Gorge Dam. And when you're down there observing the water behind the Flaming Gorge Dam, you don't see the evidence of its power. But when the water is released, then its power is evident. We, Christians, we who have been made alive together with Christ, we have at work in us the immeasurable greatness of God's power by which He raised Christ from the dead and has made us alive together with Christ. That power of God has already worked in us to give us new birth. That power of God has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son of God. That power of God has made us a new creation in Christ. Created in us the new man, the inner man, created for good works, prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Paul has said this already in this letter. The Apostle Paul's prayer that we read, to have our inner man be strengthened, is so that it becomes evident that Christ dwells in us by faith. It's the strengthened inner man that makes our outside man the visible testimony that Christ dwells in us. And so Paul prays that we, the church, be strengthened in the inner man. And Paul is addressing this prayer, as he tells us, he's addressing the prayer to Him who is able and willing to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or even think to ask of Him. And so at the end of his prayer, in anticipation of God answering that prayer for His church, Paul says, "Therefore, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." See, we have to always remind ourselves that God alone has the power to make His purpose and His promises real in our daily walk. Real, not just that we believe His promises in our hearts, which we do when we profess faith, but real also that we live out God's promises in our daily visible lives. The outside man showing what the inside man believes and trusts in and is empowered with. But that outside man to reveal the power of God in us, that requires that the inner man, be strengthened. Because as the inner man is being strengthened, then outwardly, we will live transformed lives, Christian lives. Now, the inner man is that part of us that defines who we really are, deep down who we really are. It's our heart and mindset. It's our worldview. It's our desires, our moral compass. So Proverbs 4 tells us that above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. That's where our conduct originates from. That's the inner man. The inner man of us, of those who are in Christ, is radically different from the inner being of the unbeliever. Christians have, as the inner man, the heart of flesh that is submissive to God. Unbelievers have the heart of stone that rebels against God. So the strengthening that Paul prays for God to grant to us, again, that's dependent upon God's grace. He grants. The strengthening that Paul prays for is for the sake of our walk, reflecting that Christ dwells in our inner man. So Paul prays that our inner man be strengthened, so our walk testifies that we are grounded and rooted in Christ's life-transforming love for us. He prays for strengthening the inner man, so that our daily lives gives testimony that we are those who are being filled with all the fullness of God. So that as our inner man is strengthened, our walk reflects that we have been given, we are the owners of, the inheritors of every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's all ours already in Christ. Our walk is to reflect that. But for that walk to reflect that, we need to have our inner man strengthened with might by the Spirit of Christ. He prays this prayer that our inner man be strengthened so that by our lives we give evidence that we were those chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before God. And as our inner man being strengthened grasps that truth more and more, then our outside man becomes visibly more Christ-like, more holy. Our walk becomes more fitting, worthy of our calling to be God's people, to be united to Christ. But again, living those worthy lives to which we are called, as we read in the beginning of chapter 4, that takes our inner man continuously being strengthened as long as we live on this present earth. He prays that we might be strengthened with might by the Spirit of God. That might is unto power and ability to walk that worthy walk. Another way to put this might be to say that Paul prays that we will be strengthened with might in the inner man so our daily lives testify to what we already have and are in Christ Jesus. You know, Christ already, once we come to Christ by faith, once we're united to Christ by faith, Christ already dwells in us by His Holy Spirit. Paul makes that point in Romans 8 when he says, if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. He's not Christ's. But we need Christ's indwelling Spirit to strengthen us, always strengthen us, so we are more and more enabled to make it evident that Christ does dwell in us. To make it evident that Christ Jesus is not just our house guest. You know, a house guest you treat with hospitality. You are kind to them. You maybe listen to them a bit. Willing to have a conversation with them. But we need to make it evident that Christ is not just our house guest, but is our sole and rightful owner. Because what are we? We are the living stones of His house, the dwelling place of God, His church. We're not our own, but belong to Him. He purchased us with His precious shed blood. And so how does it show up? How does it show up that Christ dwells in us and that His Spirit is strengthening us in our inner man? Well, it's as our inner man is being strengthened, our discernment of what is right, of what is pleasing to God, becomes more evident by our outside man, by our choices, by our conduct. Our daily lives testify more and more, although imperfectly so, that for us to live is Christ. Our lives should testify, as Paul writes in Galatians 2, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's the truth, but it's to be evident. The power of Christ living in us is to be evident by our transformed lives. As the Heidelberg Catechism so well puts it in the question that we all probably know the best, the very first one, to be made heartily willing and able from now on to live unto our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of our being strengthened with might in the inner man. So that means, beloved, that in all the circumstances that God brings into our lives, we are to live, demonstrate by our lives that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. And for that to be a reality, we need continually to be strengthened in the inner man with might by His Spirit. Now we might ask, and people have asked, but if God's purpose for us is to live for Christ, to His glory, and His strengthening Spirit already dwells in us, why is Paul praying this prayer? Will not God sovereignly work His purpose in us? Yes, he will, but God uses means. God's called out people, the church, we. What we're to do is to turn God's revealed purposes and promises into prayers to become reality for us. We have examples of that. Both Daniel and both Nehemiah, you know, prayed to have God's people be brought back from the Babylonian captivity. It's a prayer. It turns into a prayer what God had already promised. He had promised that restoration. And so Paul, by praying for God's purposes and promises to us in Christ to be made real, real in our lives, Paul is demonstrating that he's not presuming upon God's promises, and neither should you and I. But he's asking in humility and dependence for God to do what he has promised. And you and I confess, God will give his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who earnestly and without ceasing ask them of him and render thanks unto him for them. So in order to make it evident that we Christians are indeed those, as Peter calls us to do, as we read, you know, we're those who are adding to faith goodness, adding to faith knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance brotherly love. We just looked at that in the Sixth Commandment. In order for us to show that we're doing that, that we are actually living it out, we need to be strengthened continually with might in our inner man by Christ's indwelling Spirit. Never lose sight of that truth. We need to be strengthened continuously to be able to live the Christian life, to demonstrate that Christ does dwell in us. So we can ask this question now, and this is a good question to ask. Is making a profession of faith, as we'll witness this morning, is that sufficient to have you now fully demonstrate that Christ dwells in you? Is there ever a point in our journey through this present life where we can say, I need no further strengthening in my inner man because Christ dwelling in me is fully evident by my life? Well, hopefully, we all say a resounding no. That's clearly a testimony of Scripture. The Apostle Peter even compares us Christians to newborn babies. He writes, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. We won't have grown up in our salvation until we are fully like Christ, which is at the resurrection. And Paul, in this very same letter in the fourth chapter, speaks of our being equipped for the work of ministry. That's the work of our lives testifying that we belong to Christ. He says we're to be equipped till we all come to be a perfect man, grown up into Christ, like Him. That's all of this life, beloved. We always need strengthening to become more like Him, to become have our lives become more evident that Christ dwells in us. You know, it's only as we are being strengthened in the inner man that we begin to live no longer according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. But that strengthening we receive, and that Paul prays for us, and we should pray for it as well, in order for that strengthening to be received by us, we have to be abiding in Christ. We have to be abiding in prayer to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be in His Word. We have to be in the fellowship of His body. And so through the Spirit, our strengthened inner man becomes visible in our daily walk. That's Paul's goal for us, to walk worthy of the calling that we have in Christ, to make it evident that Christ dwells in us, so that when people look at us, it's not like, well, they can't see that there's power there. They should see the power of Christ dwelling in us by the transformed lives that result as we're being strengthened in the inner man with might by the Holy Spirit. And when Paul prays this prayer to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He would grant you to be strengthened through pride, that you is plural. It's an important thing. It's plural. The ability of the church to show that she is the dwelling place of Christ is really dependent on every member, every single living stone being strengthened to make the whole strong. We're a body. We're one unit. We have unity in Christ by His Spirit. And notice also that this strengthening of our inner man is involving all three persons of the Trinity. Paul is praying to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's in Christ the Son that we are the recipients of Christ's, of God's strengthening power applied to us by the work of the Holy Spirit. He strengthens us. And notice that Paul prays that the Father would grant us to be strengthened in accordance with the riches of His glory. The riches of God's glory. You know, if a millionaire were to give you $10, he'd be giving you out of his riches. But he gives you $100,000, he's giving you in accordance with his riches. See the difference? The riches of God are inexhaustible. And God strengthens us according to the riches of His glory. So should we have any doubt that the degree of strength we receive and pray as we pray for it is more than sufficient for us to live the Christian life as imperfectly as we do? The question is, really, is the church fervently, frequently praying to God to be strengthened in the inner man so that our lives do testify that Christ dwells in us? He's not just a house guest. He owns us. He dwells in us. He directs our outward lives. And notice also that Paul is not praying for God to change the Ephesian circumstances. You know, to be strengthened with might through the Holy Spirit is for the sake of our bearing up in trials and temptations and sufferings. To be enabled to do also what Christ commands us to do, even when it's trying, even when it's challenging, even when it causes you to be persecuted by the Christ-hating culture. It's true in Paul's day. It's true in our day. So to be strengthened with might in the inner man is so that our outer man glorifies the name of Jesus Christ by living as His disciples, no matter the circumstances. That's our calling. But as we all know, we know this from Scripture, we know it in our own personal experience, we are weak, we are frail, we are fallible, we're prone to sin. Only the strengthened inner man can make our outside man stand against the devil, the world, and the flesh. It's the Spirit-strengthened inner man that puts on the whole armor of God. So to be strengthened with might in the inner man is for the sake of us, also for our comfort. It's for the sake of us living in the hope of the resurrection, even in the face of death. To be strengthened with might in the inner man is for the sake of rejoicing in the victory that we have in Christ, even when you are being assaulted by the devil and the world and your own flesh. To be strengthened with might in the inner man is for the sake of us doing what is right, even when the temptation is to do what is not fitting for one in whom Christ, the righteous, dwells. To be strengthened with might in the inner man is for the sake of your decreasing in your sin, repenting from it, and rather doing the good works that God prepared beforehand for you to walk in them. Being strengthened, we can also say, in the inner man, is for the sake of waiting on the Lord to exact the vengeance upon those who treated you unjustly. To be strengthened in the inner man with might is for the sake of your life testifying that you have peace with God in Jesus Christ. It's for the sake of your daily walk testifying, again, we confess this, that you have heartfelt joy in God through Christ, causing you to take delight in living according to the will of God in all good works. So we Christians need to be strengthened in the inner man so that in this present life we, and I'm quoting here from 2 Corinthians 4, so that we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And our outward being, you know, the person that others can see, that outward body has eyes. It can see, but it can only see what is visible. So our inward man sees the hardships, the troubles. Our outward man, sees the hardships, the troubles, the tribulations, but the outward man cannot see beyond them to Christ and hope and rejoicing. Only our inward man, our inward being, can see that our hardships and trials and troubles and sufferings and persecutions, in all of those we can see victory, even though it might seem like defeat at the moment. Only our inward being can see the devil's wily ways in trying to make us feel depressed or frustrated or incapacitated by our hardships. And Paul, remember, well understood the reality of living in accordance with his inner man in a world that hates Christ and his people. He wrote this as a persecuted apostle. So again, to make our inward man visible as we live in this present world, that's the calling. That's the calling for us in our day, as well as it was in the day of the Ephesians. So, beloved, it's not our present circumstances that we should be focused on, as we're prone to do, but rather we ought to be focused on being strengthened in the inner man to respond rightly, fittingly to our circumstances. And where do we seek that strength? Well, certainly not in ourselves, but in the power of God applied to us by Christ's Spirit who dwells in us, as Paul so prays. You know, those people, and there's so many of them, and we should be compassionate for them, those who are yet enslaved to the devil, those who still have hearts of stone, they too have to deal with hardships and trials in their lives, but they don't have Christ dwelling by His Spirit in their inner man. So they only see the earthly realm without Christ to interpret it for them as He does for us. So in their circumstances that frustrate and depress them and make them feel powerless, they seek some sort of escape, but find whatever that is, it's short-lived. But we who are in Christ, who acknowledge, who know and live in the reality of the unseen heavenly realm ruled by Christ for our good, well, the devil will try to get us frustrated and depressed and powerless in our trying circumstances. But as our inner being is being strengthened, as we pray for, as we are being strengthened, we are able to stand against him. Because as our inner man is strengthened, we're enabled to make visible by our response to our circumstances that Christ dwells in us and He's bringing us to eternal life and victory. So we deal with our circumstances not by seeking to escape them, but to let them serve as tests of our faith that develop perseverance to attain to the glory by which we attain to the glory and the everlasting rest that is God's purpose and promise to us in Christ. But again, we have to remind ourselves and tell ourselves that the inner man is not up to speed as soon as we receive new birth, or once we've been catechized, or we've made a profession of faith. If that was all that was necessary, the Apostle Paul would not have prayed this prayer for the church. in Ephesus, which contained immature Christians, many who had professed faith, who had learned the doctrines of the faith. He prays for all of the church, every one of us too, that we might all be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit in our inner man. Yeah, we do need to have the knowledge of the faith, but our inner man continuously needs to be strengthened to have us live out the faith that we profess, to give evidence that Christ does dwell in us. Paul prayed for that end, and we should make that our prayer as well, and for all of the church, all of our fellow living stones. And as we look around today in our culture to see how mainstream is the suppression of the truth, how prevailing and mainstream is rebellion against God's standard, and how the toleration for expressing the Christian worldview is being chipped away at, ought we to be praying fervently for God to strengthen us with His might in our inner man, so that we do stand up for Jesus Christ when the temptation is to have the church become like the culture. Temptation is to conform so that we can escape the inevitable persecution against those who do live for Christ. So let me close the sermon by again reading Paul's prayer, and may it be our prayer, and may the Lord hear us and answer it as we are assured He will. That God would grant us, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and forever. May you therefore live lives worthy of your calling, for your comfort and to the glory of God. Amen.